like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
I'm not an excuse guy, and the fact that I spoil a lot of people with my play.
Shots all day. If you catch me in the air, you already know my name. It's King LeBron James. I make them all say, I dunk it in your face and I hit you with the tray. Fly like Jordan, hit shots all day. If you catch me in the air, you already know my name. It's King LeBron James. I make them all say, I dunk it in your face and I hit you with the tray. Sometimes I think crossing you over. Every step I get, you already bending over. I'm the biggest winner, you already know the name. Got me all day, I'm gonna do the same. All he's gonna do is, and I'm, and he hits the J. All he's gonna do is, and I'm, and he hits the J. All he's gonna do is,
98.5 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich, 617-775-0985. LeBron James, you cannot question it. He played very well this year, and he is in the NBA Finals.
He can't question it either.
Yeah, he cannot question it either. Mm-hmm. Brian Windhorst is a man who we've made fun of many, many times. I don't have to recycle all the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been following LeBron James since his high school days in Akron. He's built a career being a barnacle on the side of LeBron James, and therefore he is very kind to him.
I will give Cleveland fans one bit of credit, is that during Game 6, did you see all the people show up with giant Brian Windhorst heads?
No, I didn't see it.
In the crowd, which was pretty phenomenal. There was one interview that Brian Windhorst was doing after the game, and behind him a guy was waving a Brian Windhorst head, and I think it was Scott Van Pelt, like, referenced it, and Brian Windhorst did not find it funny in the least.
No, he didn't, because he's like, I've been kissing his ass for 30 years.
Right, this is all I get.
And this is all the thing I get, all the things I get.
So, Brian Windhorst tweeted out something yesterday, and it was an article about how LeBron James had some doubt going into in the middle of the season that they would actually even make the playoffs. And what was amazing is that it linked a video that Rachel Nichols, an interview that she did with LeBron James, and all the people who were tweeting Brian Windhorst is like, why didn't you get the interview? Is it because of the restraining order? Is it because LeBron James wants nothing to do with you? He's terrified of you. But there was a transcript of part of the interview, and then what actually aired, which I found kind of funny. So let's take a listen. And in this interview, there are some interesting things, too, is LeBron James talks about Dan Gilbert and also the whole Kyrie Irving situation. And he hasn't talked a ton about that since it all happened. And now he's kind of opened up and maybe can feel free to now that Kyrie Irving is no longer in the picture. Let's take a listen.
I know better to ask you to put anything in historical context because you are an in-the-moment person about this stuff, but in the moment, what does it feel like to be in your eighth straight finals, ninth overall?
I don't know. I'm a loss for words, but it's a blessing to be able to be a part of the big stage, and this is the biggest stage that you can get in our sport, and that's the finals. It's the Super Bowl. It's the Stanley Cup. It's the World Series. It's the finals, and I've been a part of it for eight straight years.
Did you let yourself think at any point, I'm not going to make it?
Well, the odds have not been with us all season. You know, even if you start back to the summertime when I felt like it was just bad for our franchise to be able just to trade away our superstar, you know, point guard. Obviously, I wasn't part of the communications and know what exactly went on between the two sides, but I just felt like it was bad timing for our team to just get rid of our point guard, you know, and Kyrie Irving. So, you know, I felt like the odds was against us, you know, from the summer. We just had
Real quick, before he finishes, wasn't he part of the plan to bring Paul George in and have Kyrie Irving be traded?
That was the word at the time. That was the word at the time. There was talk about the trade. He wanted Bledsoe. Remember that? He wanted Eric Bledsoe on his team.
And isn't that the whole reason Kyrie Irving went to Dan Gilbert and said, I want out.
You don't want me? You know, I want my own team.
So let's not let LeBron get away with that one. Yeah. Let's not revise history.
That when he goes, I don't want to play for Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert did everything that LeBron James wanted him to do.
No, he didn't. He didn't get that trade.
Yeah, but he couldn't get that trade. But when LeBron James ultimately wanted Kyrie Irving jettisoned off the team.
No, Dan Gilbert had a GM that was about to make that trade, and then he fired him. That's what ruined it. So Dan Gilbert's the reason that trade didn't happen.
I don't believe that Dan Gilbert did anything personnel-wise that wasn't approved by LeBron James.
Well,
I don't.
Well, according to LeBron, and according to, I believe, who was the name of the GM they used to have that he really liked? I don't think LeBron had anything to do with
his firing. Is it Kobe Altman, or is he the new guy? Is he the guy that's there now?
He's the current one.
It doesn't matter what the guy's name is.
No, there was a lot of articles and people saying that there was a massive power struggle between Dan Gilbert.
Thank you, Dan. Griffin was the old
guy. That's right, and it was because LeBron wouldn't commit, they ended up firing the GM right when that deal was all but done.
I don't believe that anything happens ultimately without LeBron James signing off on it.
Well, that did, according to everyone involved in all the articles.
I question that. Because ultimately, Dan Gilbert wants him to stay.
And there's one thing that backs up Fred's point, is that the guy they wanted at the trade deadline was DeAndre Jordan. And Cleveland could have traded for DeAndre Jordan. They would have had to give up the Brooklyn pick and other things, and they didn't. So, I mean, if LeBron had his way, he really would have put the franchise in a hole with no future at all. They would have brought in DeAndre Jordan. It would have been a much better team. But Cleveland said, no, I don't think so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's more to my point, that Dan Gilbert and him disagreed.
I guess we're supporting both points in that Cleveland didn't do everything LeBron wanted him to do. I mean, LeBron wanted... Oh, I see what you're saying. I have the argument backwards. Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. I'm backing Rich's story.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
All right.
Never mind. Continue on.
We shuffled in different lineups. We shuffled in different players. We made a trade at the deadline. And I can't sit here right now and say that... That the finals was a part of my thinking. It was not. And even when you saw me at one point early in the season, I think it was in December or January, and you was looked at me like, okay, Mona, I know you, what you doing. And it's crazy because right before you seen me, I had already kind of hit that switch. I was like, okay, I'm not quite sure what we're going to do with this ball club. We're not playing good basketball, but you can't sell yourself short. But to see, I can't even lie to you. See,
okay, stop. Because at that point, ESPN cut off his quote, because in the Brian Windhorst article, he finishes, he goes, we're not playing good basketball, you can't sell yourself short. And then he continues, you have so many people looking up to you. You have so many kids to inspire. And you yourself have always talked about being as great as you can be every day. I kind of hit that switch before the trade deadline. Yes, all the kids of the world are looking at you saying, why, LeBron? Why can't you take your game to the next level? Please, do it for little Timmy.
My son has to do a fourth grade report, and it's on LeBron James.
Huh.
So, not a lot of information out there on him. You have to really dig.
Will we be a part of the finals? I would be definitely lying to you if I said, yes, we would be in the finals in January or February.
Yeah, you didn't think that was the case at all.
It was that point where it was like, okay, will the Cavs even make the playoffs? You know, and I was like, okay, I'm not selling for that conversation.
One funny thing is that he says when it's about him, it's about overcoming, and then when it's about not making the playoffs, it's the Cavs.
That's a good point.
That is one thing that he does.
Yeah, he does.
Now, that's ridiculous. Now, I got to get into the postseason, and I've always said, if I get into the postseason, no matter if I'm a one seed or a seed, or in this case, a four seed, I believe that we can do something. And I got it. We did something. We did something.
You mentioned earlier in this interview about not wanting Kyrie Irving to be traded.
Yeah.
You actually made a phone call and said, I don't want this trade to happen.
Yeah.
Ownership decided to make the trade anyway. Mm-hmm. They decided that part ways with GM David Griffin, which is another thing you said you didn't want to have happen. What is the relationship with you and Dan Gilbert right now?
Well, I mean, our relationship has always been a working relationship. For me personally, I've always tried to do, since I come back to this franchise, I try to put this franchise at a level that is always seen in a positive light. When you see the Cavs logo, I want you to think as a very prestiged and, you know, great organization. So, you know, it's not about, you know, me and Dan. We have a great working relationship. You know, I think it's worked out for us both in these 4 years so far since I've been back.
How much is ownership going to play a part in your free agency decision?
We're going to see.
Ooh. We're going to see.
Mm.
I thought the whole thing is Irving and James didn't get along.
Well, Irving didn't like the way he was talked to and treated. I mean, Irving was a star, and, you know, I mean, you heard the whole thing. I wanted to give him the keys to the kingdom, and he basically treated him like he was a
little brother
afterthought. And there was that part of it, too. But the big thing, if you ask Kyrie Irving and some of the other people, the sources, is that Kyrie found out that behind his back, LeBron and the organization, or the GM at the time, were orchestrating a potential trade that would have sent him as part of that three-team trade. Yeah. Remember that involved Phoenix and everything? And he was going to be gone. And when he got whiff of that, he's like, all right, so I've been sitting here. I essentially won you a ring, LeBron. I've been treated like crap by you. I've been disrespected. And now, behind my back, you want to trade me? You're trying to control my destiny?
Okay, so that's
Screw you. That's why he went.
That's sort of my point about LeBron. I mean, LeBron, you know, pushes whatever, everything that happens in that organization, he pushes. All right, this is a little bit off topic, but this is the coach of Cleveland. Devin, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was watching Game 7 with my wife the other night, and she starts taking pictures of Tyronn Lue and laughing and texting with her girlfriends. And I was like, what's so funny? And she told me a story how back when she was single, living in Boston, like 2011, one of her friends got asked out by Tyronn Lue. So she got a couple of her girlfriends to go out to dinner with them. And she said it was the worst, most awkward dinner of all time. That when they got there, that no one was drinking, that they ended up all ordering Shirley Temples with extra grenadine.
That's true. I've heard that before. Like, his drink is a Shirley Temple, and he doesn't drink.
Oh, boy.
Extra grenadine. And when he's about to pour it out his mouth, his mouth was already open and going.
Wait, so could the girls not order alcohol? Were they kind of, the vibe was don't order alcohol at the table?
The girls were all ordering alcohol.
Okay.
They were looking to, you know, party it up. And then that just, and him and all of his cronies, none of them were drinking. They all ordered Shirley Temple.
It's one thing not to drink. It's another thing to go 8-year old on you.
Shirley Temple.
With extra grenadine.
Oh. I have pancakes with extra chocolatey chips on the top. Please.
I'm having flashbacks to bartending. A lot of orders for extra grenadine.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I will tell you that.
Let me take a sip. That's the sound that Tyronn Lue's mouth makes when it's constantly open.
I have your finest vodka, ginger ale, and about a half a pound of grenadine.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Golden Knight's army has vanquished the kings. Feasted on sharks. And grounded the jets. Enemies on land, sea, and air. The West belongs to Vegas. The Golden Knight's army has grown. Once there were 31. And now only two remain. The capitals from the east attack our fortress. And they are here!
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That is the beginning of the Las Vegas Knights. They fought last night to the Washington Capitals, but a lot has been made about their intro, which is funny. I mean, I don't have a problem with it unless you are staying up for the whole game and you don't want a half an hour of pomp and circumstance.
My question is, it's funny to us because we, you know, pop in. I mean, the Bruins were there once and we've kind of seen a couple of playoff games. I'm wondering if all the fans of Swordplay are kind of sick of it if you watch it night after night after night.
I'm going to say the funniest thing, though, is when they're going to invariably suck. I mean, they're not going to be this
right.
good again.
Next year, this won't be any fun.
No, yeah, and so it's just there's not. Like five people again. All right. Well, now, Jeremy Roenick has not covered himself in glory during this whole time. They have said, you know what, this is, we're going to really hype up this up. We finally have a story that the nation cares about, so right. we're going to put the jester's cap on Roenick and have him run around. And last night was no different, Mr. Lockhart.
No, he, you see him at the desk at the beginning of the show, and then all of a sudden he disappears, and you know wackiness is about to ensue. And it reminds you a lot of the NHL awards because it's just so, like, low rent.
Right. They're not, because this is not on regular NBC. This is on the NBC Sports Network. And so, what is this? He goes to get a tattoo?
Well, he goes to a tattoo parlor to find a man getting a tattoo, and maybe he's getting a logo of some sort.
All right, here is Jeremy Roenick yucking it up for the people.
Let's see where JR is. It's always a fun...
Let's see where he is. I don't know. This hasn't been planned at all. He's just running the strip to have making things happen. Hey, everybody, I'm McCann. Hello!
Paul Stanley, what are you doing here?
I am in a hamper.
In Las Vegas?
Ronan, get out of here! Yeah, I've hit the jackpot.
Where are you?
Marc-Andre Fleury's jock strap.
I see.
Everything's come up jocks.
You enjoying Las Vegas?
JR, yeah. It's always a fun project as we look for him in the crowd. JR, where are you?
Thanks, KT. You know what they say? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, You know what they say? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, sometimes what happens in Vegas actually comes home with you. This has happened to me before. It's called a tattoo. And
it's called herpes.
This has happened to me before. It's called a tattoo, and they're getting many tattoos are getting put on. Now, these are real tattoos. This is my new buddy, Todd. He's from New York, and you're a Ranger fan, and you're getting a Golden Knights tattoo. That's a pretty big commitment, my friend.
Yeah, I am. I was a lifelong Ranger fan, and I moved here. I immediately identified with the team. I'm a misfit myself, and I just fell in love with the team, and I'm forever.
I find that hard to believe. You're a bit of a misfit?
No.
You've gone and you're getting a tattoo at an arena for a team that's been around for a year. Congratulations. I find it hard to believe that.
Seems to me, sir, that you're a Wizard fan and you're lonely. That's what it seems to me.
Yeah, you're telling me that you're a bit of a misfit. I'm getting it right here on my forehead.
Forever a Golden Knights fan.
And Jason, you're the owner of the tattoo shop and doing all these tattoos. How many tattoos have you done since they've gotten here?
Team tattoos were very minimal, here and there, one a week. Now, since the playoffs, it's all we do. Since the playoffs, I've probably done 100 plus.
100?
Yes.
So.
Probably the helmet and shield logo.
Hey, KT, you want to come get a tattoo with me? I don't know what's going to be. I don't think a Golden Knights one will be good, but... You know, we got to stay neutral.
All right, so very good. And then Roenick is not done, Mr. Mike Lockhart.
No, sometimes you got to take in a show. You know, there's a lot of shows in Vegas, and which one do you show up at? You go to the Blue Man Group.
Oh, wow.
Well, they don't have a lot to say, but they're wacky.
I saw this. Oh, my God.
So he goes, he goes only in Vegas and then every other major city. Here is the Blue Man Group.
Check out the wacky music.
No, you can just tell Roenick's walking into a house where, what's this, an orgy? Ooh, I'll take off my shirt.
Well, of course, in Vegas, what do I have to do? I have to be in a show. So I was thinking, what show could I be in? One of the favorites, one of my favorites, one of the best in Vegas, the Blue Man Group. The guys are going to make me the fourth Blue Man. I can't wait, guys. Is that what we're going to do? You're going to paint me out? What's that?
Is that the music from the Blue Man Group?
I don't remember.
No idea.
No clue. I've seen the Blue Man Group, but I don't remember. I don't think that's it. I don't think they're nearly that wacky.
Why am I putting this suit on? Music? Guys, a little communication here would help. No? Oh, this is that guy in a little suit.
All right, so they're making the joke that they don't talk.
Right, when they're putting him in a Tyvek suit, and they're going to spray paint him.
Okay. And Roenick's like, what's going on?
Yeah, he had no idea this was going to happen.
So where was the pre-production meeting?
Hold the sign.
What are you doing with that paint and that big fan? Hang on a second.
Wait, you're not going to say anything? What? You got me. Tackle me with a feather.
You guys know what you're doing here? Goggles. How come you guys? What's that? In the hood? What's this for? Listen, guys, this is not what I signed up for. What are you doing?
Oh, please, whoa. Jeremy Roenick. It was bad enough you cried after the Blackhawks won the championship.
See, Roenick, when we had him on, I want to say the last time we had him on, had a great Vegas story where he pulled a prank on a couple of his buddies where, you know, they were at this party and two guys looked like they were going to come kill him and one guy, like, ran straight through a plate glass window. I mean, that was a good story.
No, I think Roenick would be an interesting guy, a fun guy to hang out with. Yeah. I just think that he's just put himself in a situation where there's no looking good.
Yeah, he's a puppet at this point.
Yeah, he's a puppet. He's like the zany guy on the broadcast, which I don't think fits him very well. Wait, what? What? You're doing what?
Hold on, what's going to happen to me right now? I would love for you guys... What's the pain for?
Well, you could just... Your imagination just with the audio could run anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
He made friends with a vacuum cleaner. Wait a second. This didn't work in eighth grade, and it's not working now.
I would love for you guys... What's the pain for? Hey! Listen, that's not blue. That's blue. Whose idea was this? Now I know what the suit's for. Oh, my God. Hey! This is very awkward for me. Yeah? You got it. I hope you guys are having fun. What? Seriously, what was the reasoning for all of this? Of course. Even the famous Blue Man Group loves the Stanley Cup Final. For some reason, I don't feel very blue.
So the sign says Stanley Cup Finals when they rip the tape off it.
Okay, yeah. Very good.
This is very awkward for me, guys. Yeah.
And finally, this is Roenick, and he's in the crowd.
Yeah, well, he shows up on stage with the cheerleaders and a man dressed as a knight in front of a crowd, yeah.
Okay, so this is not in the arena?
No, this is outside.
Okay, this is outside.
Yep.
Jeremy Roenick continuing to do crowd work.
That's where we find JR once again, somewhere in the mix of the crowd, JR.
Captain, you talk about a crowd. How about this crowd? This is the cheerleaders behind me. We've got Nightline, the drum bots have become synonymous. We got the knight here getting ready to go. He's got to be real hot in that. How are you feeling right now?
Can you feel the heat? Put your hand there.
Oh, my goodness. It's but don't hit me with those hands. Those hands are pretty vicious. Are you excited about tonight?
It's so much fun.
It's unbelievable.
So much fun. Best fans of the NHL.
And this team has just been on fire right now. These fans are unbelievable. I think we're going to dance with those cheerleaders for a little bit. I even got to perform with the drum bots. They come synonymous with the Vegas Golden Knights, pumping these crowd up every single day with Go Knights Go. So I'm going to do a little dancing, Catherine, and I'll get back to you because this is a good spot for me to be.
Oh, Roenick, where have you gone?
I'm with the cheerleaders.
I'm with the cheerleaders. Look, I'm going to do a little dancing. Don't worry about old JR. He's got it all under control. I just feel bad for the guy. They put him in a situation where it's just not good.
You're telling me Keith Jones is a better, you know, guy at the desk than Roenick?
Why
did they kick him out there?
I don't know how a guy who dominated NHL 94 the way he did can turn around and make his career like this.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Wallach, are you nervous?
Not at the moment. I'm sure I will be in about a half an hour.
Because Wallach, a big fan of smooth R&B, a big fan of New Jack Swing.
Yep.
Enough that in his early days would go to a club with just a leather vest and no shirt on.
I looked last night and I couldn't find it. It doesn't mean I won't find it. I just haven't found it yet.
Yeah, so maybe your mom has it framed or something.
That's right.
But there are two contestants, including Billy Lanny, that are going to go up against Wallach. And we're going to find out which nerd knows the most about music that does not fit their personality at all.
You don't know if the third guy's a nerd or not. I haven't met the guy.
Well, we saw a video of him, and he claims to be.
Okay.
So we will find out. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich frantically working in the other room. Our contestants are here.
I've seen Billy. I haven't seen the other gentleman.
The other gentleman is here.
Okay.
And he is ready to take you on.
All right.
John Wallach, if you don't know, a big, out of the blue, very organic, just became a fan of he was a fan back in the early 90s of the smooth R&B, the songs like Casanova. And I can almost relate. I never liked this, but there is a moment in your life. 617-779-0985. Is there a moment in your life when you were like anywhere from 16 to like 24 where you were trying on personalities? Everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
And you think in
hence
some
the leather vest going to clubs, you see.
Yeah, you yes. You would literally watch MTV and see Keith Sweat.
Yes, I'm like, that's the look. And that's what I want.
I can completely relate to it because that was that you would get in your mind that these that you could do it too. Like
right.
All these guys have it nailed. Like I can pull up in the Ford Escort, you know. Open up the door for the lady, take her to Applebee's, mm-hmm. and then take her to the club, have my leather vest on, and finesse her in that fashion. I've done a million things like that. I told you when I was in college, I had a girl to my room, and I had bottles of Boone's Farm, and mm-hmm. I microwaved two Lean Cuisines, and I thought I was Fred Astaire.
We all went through that phase. Remember, I told you I had a ponytail at one point. I mean, that was another phase.
I do
you
not
went
remember that.
Yes.
So what did the
that was actually about a year or two after the leather vest phase.
Okay, so what was the music in the
I don't know what the music I don't remember.
Now, was it a ponytail where the hair was all the same length, or was it like a ponytail in the back?
No, hair was the same length. I just grew it out. I grew it out and had the ponytail.
Okay, there's a lot of theories on what that ponytail looked like.
No, it wasn't that long. It wasn't like a long middle of the back, like Grateful Dead type thing. Wasn't that. It was shorter, not a rat tail, but a little longer than that.
Because I told you that my big thing, if I could go back in high school, in basically college too, I had a girlfriend for 2 years in college, and then I never got... It was impossible to get laid. I mean, maybe once or twice my junior and senior year. We both went to small schools. You know how that goes.
Yes, I do.
It makes it... If you went to a big university, you were getting laid constantly.
That's
no
right,
one cared.
You have to be extra careful at a small school, because if you whiff, then everybody on campus knows you whiffed.
Dude, I would be wasted. I would be wasted. I didn't care if I wouldn't care if I... What happened? The girls wanted nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Because... at the time, I was into that whole negging thing. Like, you know, how you have to be, like, kind of a dick to girls.
Yeah.
For them to like you.
Right.
And that, nothing works worse than that. Like, if I could just go back in time and be, like, normal. In any way, shape, or form, normal around girls. Because also, I know why the negging thing, where you go up and you insult the girl. Why that's so popular is because it protects you. Because if you don't get it, it's like, well, I didn't try, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly it. But I told you that I had fashioned my basement in basically Spencer's Gifts. My parents had furnished, we didn't have a very big basement, but my parents had furnished it. And I went to Spencer's Gifts and I got a strobe light, because nothing gets you laid and sets a mood like a strobe light. I got one of those lights that's like a disco ball with the different
sure.
colors on it that shined on the walls. We got a record player, because the record player, they had CDs back then. They had, you know, cassette tapes. This is about 1990, 91.
Okay. All right.
But the record player, John, brought a certain kind of joie
old
de vivre to the room.
You know, like, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. So we would have like...
Put on a Sinatra and go to town.
No, it was more the Superfly soundtrack was something we had.
Superfly?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, nothing gets a girl more excited
wow.
than the Superfly thing.
Sure.
I had a fish tank where I had put the tropical fish piranha. So I really thought girls would walk in and go like, this is unbelievable. And we called it the green room because I painted it green, because I had read that girls... Or that when you go to a talk show, they call it the green room because green is very calming. So the idea was this would be my seduction pit. And then there was a door that led to a storage area where I'd put down a very sexy mattress. So the idea was that we would seduce you in the green room. You would be overwhelmed by all the lights and strobes and Spencer's Gifts things happening everywhere. You would look at the majestic fish tank and you would go, this is a guy who really knows how to get it done.
So let's leave that area and go to a dust-riddled room with boxes and do it on a mattress on the floor.
With my baby crib in the corner, if you will, miss. Yeah, let's get in there. Hey, with like my grandma's dolls.
Got it.
That she gave to my mom.
Sure.
Oh, excuse me, miss. We may I introduce you to the storage area? There are many, many vacuums that no longer work.
I've seemed to have tripped over my Lionel trades from when I was eight.
This is not a lie. My father's erector set from when he was growing up seems to be here as well.
Box full of my old pacifier seems to have spilled over.
My parents' taxes from the 80s are sitting here in a box.
You win. I wasn't nearly that creative. Oh, I really wasn't.
No, there's no sheet on it. There's no nothing.
Really?
Oh yeah. Like in my mind, that was like that. There was really a room. And that this, and it was with my friends and everything, we really believed that this was a room, no alcohol, no access to alcohol. If this was a room, parents upstairs, you'd put on the Superfly soundtrack, you know, and just the girls would be overwhelmed, and then you could take them into the other room, lay them down for it, let me lay you down, lay them down, and then have sex with them. Next to the furnace and hot water heater. That was the whole idea. Now, you had privacy.
Yes.
You didn't have to worry about, you know, the rest of the people seeing it.
Did you ever get close?
I never got laid on the... I never got laid down there. No.
Okay.
But I did... I mean, we'd turn off the lights with girls down there and you know... third base and everything like that.
Sure.
In a very romantic setting, as there would be three couples doing everything that was unenjoyable for a man.
Sure.
Just
I get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just sitting there and then going, wow, that was great.
Yeah. There's a lot of blockage. I got you.
They got everything and I got nothing.
No, I got that point. I'm just saying
right. You
got to a certain point where there was a lot of blockage. There was a lot of frustration,
John,
building up.
You know, John.
Yes.
No TV.
Really?
No TV.
All
down
that
there.
And no television down
there. John, why?
Yeah. So after they left, you would have something to do?
Go upstairs and play Nintendo.
Okay.
Which I did more than I would
have. Or better yet, play the Nintendo in the love pit after you were done.
No, you can't have, because that speaks of childish things. See, we were very mature when you took her in. Chad, go ahead.
I got it.
So I got to one-up you, Fred. I'm divorced at 40 with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, two girls, and I can only afford a 1-bedroom in the North Shore. It's pink with a bed and a crib. And I sleep on a mattress in the living room. Imagine trying to get action that way.
Oh, my God. So have you brought people home and had to be like, shh, like everyone's asleep?
I'm living the good life right now. I can't bring anybody there.
And then you can't really, and is it hard to have, it's hard to get someone to stay overnight so you can go over to someone's house.
Correct.
So you've really backed yourself into a corner there, sir.
I have, my friend.
All right.
My daughter's.
What's that?
I said I'd do whatever for my daughters, man.
Well, listen, you're a good father. They can't take that away from you.
The sacrifices you make for your children.
All right. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, yeah. So, Fred, you mentioned that you had a pet piranha. Well, in college, I had a pet crayfish or crawfish, so like one of those mini lobster sort of things. And that's what I would use to get people to come over to my apartment and be like, hey, want to see my pet crayfish? And honestly, it worked more often than not.
Okay.
I don't know what it was, but
okay.
It worked.
So you would say to a girl, you want to come? Well, they wanted you anyway, obviously. The crayfish...
Probably, but like the thing was like, all right, how do I seal the deal? How do I get them to actually come to my place? Crayfish. That was the door.
See, I'm guessing that you would have much more success with women than I, and that was just a way for them to agree to come to your place. That they had no interest in seeing that crayfish, obviously. But that was a way that you could say, do you want to come over? You could have said anything. You could have said, like, hey, do you want to come over? I have a map. Like, you could have said anything at that point, and they would have come over.
Know, honestly, I'm not sure. I don't think I'm as smooth or as attractive as maybe you think I am, Fred.
I don't,
more attractive than you, but not
all right.
as you may think.
I just gave you a compliment, and then you had to come out swinging. You had to come out swinging at me.
Come on, Fred. You've seen yourself. Come on.
Listen, I didn't always look this way. There was a time where I was more presentable. The guy at baseball yesterday, he goes, hey, I really like the beard. I'm like, oh, it's covered all this crap.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like it.
Right.
It's gray. I'm in a very weird area right now because my beard is completely gray, which I'm not wild about.
All right.
But my face is looks disgusting without it.
I understand that.
Yeah. I'm in a very weird place.
Yeah. Well, it's a reverse for me. If I've tried to grow a beard on many occasions. By the way, when I had the ponytail, I had the beard as well. And it was weird because I'd always get the hair here. It would grow much faster on the sides and lower. And I was never really good at trimming it, so I looked like some kind of hideous monster. It was awful.
Mm. Didn't really start getting laid until I got that job at that alternative radio station. Then things went fast and furious.
You worked the night shift, man.
At the night shift.
Commodores.
Mm-hmm. All right. The big contest is coming up. Who knows more about the new Jack? More about the soul music? More about the 80s and 90s R&B? The music that could get a lady in the mood? And it is guys that you would not normally think that were into it. We have two contestants going up against Wallach. We'll have that for you at 8 o'clock.